Now, I am a little on the ignorant side as far as the Genesis, if you don't mind my saying that. So, if you could just start me at the beginning. Danny Boyle did not want to do this ever, or did want to do it, in terms of directing. Mm-hmm. How is it that you happened to step in and take this one?
I think because Danny, and I think it's healthy, you know, that when you make a movie, and you would love, you know, to continue with another chapter or whatever. I think it's healthy if you give the project to somebody. I think as Danny explained to me, because you know, I was so surprised when I received the invitation to make 20 Weeks Later, because I'm not a Londoner, English is not my first language, and the most important thing is I didn't know London at all, because you know, I've never been there. So, and London is a big character in the story. So that's why I explained to him, well, why me? Why? And they told something smart, I think. So we need fresh eyes in this movie. Otherwise, we are creating a kind of copy. And to me, that was the statement that he said. To me, it's not good, you know, if we make a copy. We need another step in this story, a kind of evolution, in the way that you want. In the way that you want.
Who again was saying we need to move forward, not copy the last one?
Danny.
Okay.
It was Danny. So that's why when I heard those words, mm-hmm. I decided to make this movie, because to me the main concept of this, the main concept of the story, the landscape, I would say, is infection, is the rage. What does it mean, rage? What is the meaning of rage? You know, we are living in a world surrounded by rage. So I think that's good when the genre movie like this one is trying to show a portion, a slice of reality, and that was my intention the whole time when I faced the project and I tried to make a real movie, obviously with playing with the idea that you're making an entertaining movie, but if you try to make it real, I think it's the best way to try to deliver, to convey a kind of apocalyptic thriller, which 28 Weeks Later is.
Do you think that there's something in the air, you know, how creative ideas are like pollen and creative currents, mm-hmm. visit certain cultures? Mm-hmm. This is a magical time for any sharp director of Hispanic, either Spanish or Mexican mm-hmm. descent, mm-hmm. or South American descent. Mm-hmm. You know, it just seems like that every time there's a Spanish language director handling something, it's always interesting. It's never schlocky. It's always got something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going on now. It's like God is favoring mm-hmm. Spanish
you think
language
so?
Directors.
You know? That's a nice compliment. I don't know. I got the feeling that the Spanish Latin filmmakers now, we are living a good time, because probably you know much better than me, but the reasons, the deep reasons about that. But I got the feeling that we are connecting with a kind of massive audience, with the big audience, because we are introducing in the genre, and we are introducing in the main stories. A kind of, it's so strange, the thing I'm going to say, but a kind of surreal and a kind of a powerful imaginary, you know, in terms of visuals, without losing the connection with the reality, which is something really strange, because when you analyze movies from Guillermo del Toro or Alfonso Cuarón, or Alejandro González Iñárritu, or even Almodóvar, Amenábar, you know, if you talk all of those filmmakers, they can deal with many genres. They can deal with thriller, apocalyptic visions, comedy, like Almodóvar. But there is, in all those movies, there is something always, there is something untouchable. There is something that is connected with some kind of unconscious and surreal imaginary. But connected with the real world, which is fantastic, because I think in that sense you got a kind of three-dimensional movie, three-dimensional image in every single frame in those movies. Maybe this is so bizarre that I'm telling about, but this is my feeling with the Latin filmmakers, you know, and that's why now we are you know, we are taking advantage of that capability, and now Hollywood is paying attention to that and allowing us to reach the big audience, which is fantastic.
You were talking about the different colors, different tones, different genres. Do you have any thoughts about doing something markedly different from 28 Weeks Later next? Is there any idea of what you might be
directing
next?
The next, if I'm thinking something about the next chapter in this...
No, the next film, just
the next
you.
Film.
For you, are you trying to... Would you like to go away from, you know, a smart zombie movie and into something else, or do you want to build upon your
absolutely.
Expertise at this?
Absolutely. I see myself as somebody who likes travel a lot, and I'm so curious at this, on the other hand, so I would love to try a comedy if I can. Not now, maybe the next project, because now I'm developing a kind of ideas and it's connected with my favorite genre at this moment, which is a thriller. But I'm in the next one, I think I'm introducing a new flavor, which is the kind of black humor, which I love.
I think my favorite notion of idea of really good black humor is when the Coen brothers do their
Fargo.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some I mean that is kind of funny, but it's certainly very dark at the same time. I love that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And that's why in this movie, 20 Weeks Later, I discovered myself making something so real, because in my first feature movie I did something more thriller and more fable, a little bit more fantasy than this one, but in 20 Weeks Later the whole time was I need to create something real, something that when you're watching that you can think this is gonna be happen, or this is something that it could happen, you know, something so connected with that, with this time. And it's fantastic when you're experiencing and you're learning when you're making a movie, because otherwise you need to incorporate, you know, all your experiences in life to create something new, fresh and powerful for the audience.
The satisfaction levels that everybody seems to be getting from this film in particular is that you cannot trust that any one particular character is going to necessarily survive. And there's no obvious hints given by you that this person is doomed. Where in many films, the person who is who has dislikable traits, that's a way of saying he, she is doomed. That's it. You know, anybody that's the asshole, anybody who drinks too much, anybody who has any loutish or obnoxious characteristics, they're dead, you know. You know that system, that's where they always
absolutely.
Do that. Did you want to do that differently, deliberately? Were you
deliberately, worried? Absolutely. I think this is a movie about, if you want to make something real, you can't play with that black and white stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I love to blend colors, and I love sometimes understands somebody who is doing something wrong, but you understand why. Like Robert Carlyle in the beginning of the movie when he is abandoning his wife. But at the same time, I love when you understand a kind of heroic attitude, like Doyle, the sniper, abandoning his position. But when he does that, before of that moment, you see this sniper killing people, human people, innocent. So I like that, because that's real. I think everybody has a dark side, and everybody has a bright side, and I think that's the reality. And sometimes you can't, it's so difficult, because the genre, obviously the structure of the stories is so black and white, and you need to create an antagonist and a hero, but it's good when you have the opportunity, like in this landscape, which is a real landscape, when you give the opportunity to you and to the audience to enjoy something that it's moving around the edges. you know, yeah. Something that is so disturbing in that way, because you recognize those dark emotions in your, you recognize that because you feel that as well. Okay. So that's why this movie is about surviving, and in surviving, there's no mercy, there's no hope sometimes, mm. and sometimes the hero is not winning. Mm. So that's why I think 28 Weeks Later is a kind of statement about, you know, reality, and mm. And especially according to this apocalyptic vision, which is the movie develops and conveys to the audience. Mm.
Mm. Are you there is a Guardian article maybe a week ago, mm-hmm. maybe less than a week ago, mm-hmm. said there was something about apocalyptic films set in England that had a special quality, a certain potency that he, the writer, was thinking of. Also, Children of Men, of course. You know, there's something about the tidiness and the historical fortitude of England, and everything kind of falling apart in England meant more on some level than it did in this country, where there's much more of a sense of Wild West chaos. What do you think of that thought?
I got the feeling that when you see a city like London in those conditions, it's a kind of an icon in terms of because it's like, if it's the same thing that if you're seeing how a king is falling down, you know, and that city is full of meaning, full of history, full of politics subtext, it's full of social subtext. That city is a pile of our culture. That's why it's a perfect landscape. If you want to deliver a criticism about our time, which is something that is always underneath in any apocalyptic vision that you're developing, London is a perfect set for that. I think it's every single street in that city is full of life and death. Mm-hmm. And history and future, and you know, you have many colors, and that's why it's so interesting as a filmmaker, because you can take advantage of those colors and incorporate those colors in your movie and create something apocalyptic, means discovering a new not in order to answer questions about our time, but at least to make questions, to plant questions, to drop questions to the people and ask about ourselves and our time, you know.
You know, you're a very articulate, very thoughtful man.
Thank you.
The average horror fan, obviously you're getting horror fans coming to this.
Yes, yes.
I don't know that there is fully considered in their regarding of the genre. Mm-hmm. It's more of an instinctual, yeah, you know.
But I think you can play in both levels. I'm sure, maybe I'm too much optimistic, but I think mm-hmm. every human being know when something is good or bad. And if you want to make a good movie in the way that you feel, I mean, with something else apart from the roller coaster. The roller coaster is fantastic, but if you have got the roller coaster, which is this movie, but at the same time, the trip that you're making is a very powerful and interesting and evocative sure. trip. I think you have the best of both worlds. And including that audience that you're telling me now, I think everybody's going to realize, my God, this is a special trip. Mm. This is a special journey. And I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when the movie's done and you go out of the theater, there's something else in your mind. And maybe that on the next day, when you're waking up, you got a kind of image of the movie inside, and it's helpful for you in order, I don't know, in order for anything. That's the work that I would love to make. Mm. That's the movies that I want to make, you know, that kind of movies. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You can't control anything. But at least, if your intention is that one, I think, you know, be respectful with all the audience, including that kind of horror fans, they demand, you know, impact. I think 20 Weeks Later is an intense movie, but always with something, trying to create something else.
It already has opened in England, has it not?
No, Friday.
Oh, same time everywhere.
Same time everywhere, yeah.
Is that also Paris, Germany?
No, it's so strange because they open, I think it's related with the distribution things, but they open in all the Anglo-Saxon territory, which is London, United Kingdom, America, North America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and then in June they open in Europe and Asia.
It's funny, you know, I lived in Paris in the summer of 2003, and I had the idea at the time that distribution companies had decided more and more, and particularly as a way of fighting piracy, to open day and date everywhere, the way this is almost happening. And I thought, well, this is the new wave, you know, it's all worldwide. Why do it a step-by-step, gradual, territory by territory? But that never really... That doesn't really happen. I mean, the big movies, obviously, yes, Spider-Man and, Did you have or have any input into the advertising, the one sheet? Do they consult you at all?
They show me and they want to know my opinion about that. And I tell them a lot of things. To be honest, I'm so happy with the campaign here in the United States.
The woman, the red.
Yeah,
I mean,
I love that poster. I think it's a very special poster, bearing in mind, you know, the kind of movies that in the last time it working in the same line. I think it's a very talented and provocative poster, which is something that I love. I'm so impressed with the campaign that they're making.
Are you a Londoner, or do you live in Spain?
I used to live in Madrid.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know until when, but I'm going to live in London for a time. I don't know, but...
Do you know Cuarón, Alfonso?
Yes.
How long have you guys known each other?
I met him 3 years ago. And we talk a couple of times. You know, we don't have a close relationship, but... Sometimes we met each other and especially I know very well Guillermo del Toro. All about these filmmakers, the Latin filmmakers, I know very well Guillermo del Toro and Alejandro Amenábales. Another one that I know very well.
Guillermo isn't he doing the Hellboy sequel now in Bulgaria?
Yeah, exactly. He's making.
And that.
He's so smart. He's. He makes one big thing and a special thing. He's always playing both worlds, which is something very smart. Because he takes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, please, here.
Where would you like this?
Here, do you don't mind?
Well, I'm going to give the wrap up anyway. It's very nice to have met you.
Very pleasure. My pleasure to meet you.
I hope to meet again, and I hope that it does as well as I hope. I mean, I sense that this is. That people are seeing that this is not a run-of-the-mill. This is an exceptional, smart, very high-end, popular film.
Thank you.